So we're in a new sermon series, everybody. It's called Back to the Garden. If you were not here last week, I'm going to give you a quick recap, and then we're going to jump right into it. Is that all right? So last week, what we talked about was if you go back to the garden, you see no worship services. You see no pastors. You see no preachers. You see nothing. And we talked about what really is worship. And we came with this idea that worship is the perpetual glorification of God through relationships and work. Because when we go back to the garden, the only thing that we see in the garden is relationship. Adam and Eve, God, right? And then they also had a relationship with the earth, creation. And then they also had a relationship to work it, to keep it. Amen? And then we said last week, it's that type of relationship, if you think of an apple pie or a pizza, if you like pizza, one of those two, whatever your deal is, we talked about in our sermon series before this one, we took a piece of that apple pie or pizza out, and we just talked about worship, worshiping together. That's what we're used to talking about what worship is, singing in song. In reality, worship and singing in song, it's only a piece of the larger pie. The main other bigger piece of pie of what worship is, it's a relationship with God, it's a relationship with others, and it's a relationship with your work. That's why God says, when you come to give me this pie of singing in song, if you have one of these other pies jacked up, the pepperoni's all over the place, the apple pieces are all rotten, he's like, I need you to go prep and fix that pie before you give me this pie. Are we together? That's good. And so we always talk about this pie, which is critically important. We never want to lose it. Worship in song is a powerful tool. It can shift the atmosphere. It can shift depression. Have you ever been driving? I love Lady Gaga. Don't tell me. It's my favorite. I'm on the edge of glory. It's my favorite song. But have you ever been in your car and your favorite song comes on? Does your mood shift? Do you start tapping on the steering wheel? Do you start tapping your feet? Worship can shift the atmosphere. So we never want to lose that slice of pie. The reason that we want to talk about the rest of this pie in this series is because really this is where we're at 90% of our day. We're at work. We're working in relationships. We're working with people. And I want to teach us this in this series. Pastor Bethany will be speaking next week. It's going to be awesome. I've already saw her outline and her message. She's bringing a heap. What I want to talk about in this week is the person who tries to mess up your pepperoni slices and tries to mess up all your relationships. I want to talk about the adversary. Can you say adversary? That's what Satan's name is. It's called the Satan. Like, he's like an adversary against us. I'm going to give you this phrase, and I want you to think about it for a moment. Here's the phrase. The glory of the kingdom of darkness is made known through planting flags. I'm going to say that again. The glory of the kingdom of darkness is made known through planting flags. Let me unpack that for a little bit. Many of you remember, like, I think when we went to the moon, if you actually believe we went to the moon, when the guy got there, what was the first thing he planted was the flag, right? When we're in relationships and those relationships are going well and they're healthy, husband and wife, mother and father, children, even our relationship with our job, when we go to work with a pep in our step and we're like, I'm taking God with me, or I'm going, me and God, I'm not taking God, but I'm going to work with God, that job is sweeter. It's more life that comes out of it. What our adversary likes to do is he likes to take flags of territory and plant it right where you work. So negative seeds that says this is a dead-end job, You're never going to get anywhere. It's not, whatever that negative seed is, the enemy oftentimes likes to plant it so that when you go to work, you're unable to go to work with God because the lie has been set and you're going to work with a lie. And just like faith can empower the truth, faith can also empower a lie. When faith empowers a truth, you get freedom. Amen. When faith empowers a lie, you get bondage. So your faith could be applied either way. And so when you have this big pie that God sets for you to be glorious, to be good, for you to enjoy the relationship with your brother, your sister, your mama and them, your cousin and them, everybody in your life, God says, I want your life to be so good wherever you go. I want to surround you with loving people who will care for you. And Satan says, no, boom, I'm going to plant a flag. Not going to have, how do I know this is true? In our culture today, there's a fight between men and women, right? Who's more dominant? What's the role of a woman? What's the role of a man? He's the adversary is always trying to come and pluck them pepperonis. If you like pepper, what kind of pizza you like? Whatever pizza you like in your pie, he's like, I'm not going to let you enjoy that. And today what I want to talk about is the adversary. I'm going to expose his ways. I'm going to give you an opportunity to have good pie in all your relationships. I'm going to give you some keys to do that. Is that all right? Let's go for it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. So what we're talking about today is the adversary, his ways, and how to have a good pie in all your relationships. I'm going to give you some keys. It says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, right, and condemned us, he, meaning Jesus, has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed, this is so important, disarmed the power and authorities, he, Jesus, has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. What does that mean? It means that our adversary, he has already been defeated. He has no power. When we say that the enemy or Satan like a kingdom, the reality is all authority has been given to God, Jesus, when he was risen from the dead. Amen? And so Satan, the enemy, our adversary, he has no authority in any of your relationships. He has no power. He's been exposed. The only authority or power is the authority and the power that we bequeath and give to him through deception and lies. The Garden of Eden, he had no authority. But what did he do with Adam and Eve? He came into that relationship with a what? A lie and a deception. And that authority was handed over. Are we together? We fast forward to Jesus. Jesus was on the mountain, and before Jesus was going, Jesus was a son of honor. Everything that Jesus did, he honored his father. And as Jesus was preparing to go honor his father, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. And what did Satan come again with? With a lie and a deception to put his faith in that to affect that dynamic relationship. So the power that he has is the power of lies and a power of deception to come if we put our faith in that lie or deception. Next phrase I want to highlight. The kingdom of darkness plants flags through the misalignment of God's standards. So when he plants that flag, when he comes with the lies, God tells Adam and Eve, don't eat off of that because you're going to die. The enemy, the adversary, comes to get us misaligned and says, you're not surely going to die. Nothing's going to happen to you. Misalignment with God's standard. That's how he operates every single time. 2 Timothy 3:16, I want to share this. 2 Timothy verse 3, chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, it says this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Look what it says, so that us, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So oftentimes, when we have a loved one, a family, or maybe your relationship with your work, the place that you go to, maybe there's, think about it, ponder it. Is there some lies or things that's happening that you don't say it out loud, don't shout it, but is there some things that's happening in your mind? Because if you put your faith in those things, it will shift and you will be able to put your faith in that. And so you have to go back to God's word and you have to be able to say, what does God say about the relationship with our government? To honor and respect our government. So that means whatever is happening, whatever is going, to glorify God in a relationship with our government, put some honor on it. Although our culture is showing a relationship where all our political leaders, we can just say they're jerks, we can just speak negatively about them, we can just do all kinds of things. We know, no, I cannot. Because I'm going to glorify God in my relationship and how I relate to my government. Amen. The enemy tries to come and stop us from giving glory to God in our relationship with our family, our parents, our siblings, and he tries to come in there and get us misaligned with how we should relate to one another in family. This is his operation. This is his way. And the main way, the main reason he does this is so that we cannot give glory to God in these areas. He comes and he tries to get us misaligned in our marriages. If you're dating, in your dating relationships. If you're not married and you're not dating, in your relationships that we have with your friends, he tries to get you misaligned there. So what does worship look like when our work life or relationships are out of alignment with the Lordship of Jesus Christ? What does it look like when our work life, our relationships are out of alignment with the, that means we can't give glory to God in that area because that flag is planted there. What does it look like? Well, it happens through, I mentioned this again, but I think it's worth noting, it happens through false teaching. Things that we put our faith in that are absolutely not rooted in truth. It happens in lies. It happens in walking in agreement with a lie. It happens through traumatic experiences. These are all ways that these flags are planted in relationships so we cannot give God the glory. Let me say something else about relationships and why it's so important in the kingdom of God. Everything in the kingdom of God works through relationships. Because you're a community, you're a family. Your whatever place you choose to, you know, go and put yourself in, it works through that. So that's the first place the adversary always comes to attack. That's why you have to, whether it's in all relationships, that's really what the first area he comes to attack. And the reality is you cannot bring glory to God there. It's very hard. No matter how much you come to church and sing worship songs with this one piece of pie, you have to go to work to the other pies. You have to go to family outings with the other pies. You have to go to whatever and deal with that. And so the main part of this Back to the Garden series is for us not to separate these two pieces of pies. It's for us not to say this is one. It's to kind of put them together and have a holistic view of what worship is. Why do flags matter? I said this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Worship requires working and being in relationships with a network of people, and those relationships are part of the assignment to give God glory. The relationships that you have in your life are part of the assignment to give God glory. Think about that for a second. Be very slow to enter into relationships. Think about it. Be thoughtful. Because that's part of your assignment, the relationship itself. Look at how Jesus walked with his disciples. Remember when Jesus is praying, he said, Father, I did not lose anyone you sent to me. Relationships, except for the one that was meant. So as Jesus was doing the work of his Father, he was also remembering, keep the relationship, keep the relationship. That's part of glorifying God too. That's why he says, the glory I had with you, I've given them the glory. Relationships, it matters. Common ways that flags are planted. I'm just going to hit these really quick. If you want to, you can write that down. Common ways to see if flags are, the adversary plants flags. One of them, one of the main ones is ignorance. Ignorance. The word says in Hosea, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Another way, I talked about this earlier, is deception. Is another way that the enemy plants flags. Genesis, we see it there. Rebellion is another way the enemy plants flags. It's a big one. Coveting is another way the enemy plants flags in relationships. Someone else has something that you really want. Envy, jealousy, that relationship cannot give God glory if those things are there. It just can't. And envy and covetousness is a brutal thing that we really don't talk much about. The feeling when you're perhaps scrolling through a Facebook feed or a social media feed and the thought of, I wish I had that. Or I wish I can go there. And maybe, but covetousness and envy, here's a big one, unforgiveness. It's another major one that the enemy, the adversary can plant flags. So as I close, I want to give us the three keys to removing flags. You know a flag is planted when you just cannot give God glory in that relationship. That's like a key sign. There's no peace, there's no love, and there darn well ain't no joy. It could be a relationship with another person, or it could be a relationship with a work. Like, you're literally your job, because that's where you're supposed to give glory in God and where you work. So I'm just going to give you some three keys to removing a flag. The first one is going to be the longest key, and the other two I'm going to fly right through them, okay? In the first key, it's absolutely my favorite. Oh, this is so good. Remember, you are victorious. I'm going to say that again. Remember, you are victorious in whatever that work, the relationship we have with your work or your job, or the relationship that maybe that there's no love, no peace, no joy with whatever person or whatever. Remember, you're victorious. And I love this statement. Remember, you are not fighting for victory, but from a place of victory. That's good, y'all. If you have that job or that you, maybe it's not the thing, don't think about it like, I'm fighting for victory to make this job better. No, you're in a place of victory. You're victorious already. We just got to get to the root of where the flag is, what's the cause of it, okay? And what I'm going to do now, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, I'm going to give you some keys to expose how the adversary comes and to plant flags into our lives. I'm going to give you a step-by-step how these flags are planted so you can get to the root of them and then you can remove them. Step-by-step. All right, so Ephesians, here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. That's where I got the idea. And the picture here, the Greek word for stand here is stenai. And it means standing in confidence because of all your gear, all of your equipment. You got the right gear. Man, if you've ever had we had some rats in our house. Like, that's like, I know it's crazy, but we had some rats one time in our house. And I tried every little thing to get rid of those things, and it did not work. And I didn't want to kill them with the glue kind of thing, because I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And so I just kept going back to Home Depot, like, what am I going to use to get rid of these rats? And then the Home Depot dude was like, look, this is it. You use this, I'm telling you. It's, I mean, he was so confident. I'm driving home like in full confidence. Man, these rats, you're done. You're toast. I mean, I set that mouse trap with absolute confidence because I put my confidence in the Home Depot dude that says this is going to work. And guess what? In the morning, guess what was in the trap? Rats. It worked. So when he says stand in confidence, the standing that you're doing in your relationship, in your work, it's not in your own strength. It's in the strength of your equipment, the breastplate, the righteousness, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. Your confidence is in the equipment that the Lord has given you. So that's how you can stand, knowing that I'm victorious in this relationship. It's going to pan out. Some kind of way is going to work out. Even if it's with your work. Okay, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I'm going to read again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to give you some, I'm going to unpack this again. That word wiles that you have there, your translation might have a different word, but that word wiles, it's a compound word in Greek. It comes from the word meta, and it comes from the word odous. Okay? The word meta means with, and the word odous literally means a lane. So wiles, the enemy comes with a lane. And that's where we get the word methodas. So he's like, don't be stand against. That word against in the Greek, it means pros. You're going to go with the enemy. Everyone is going to have an opportunity in a relationship where there's going to be some wrestling in the relationship, in your work, and whatever the thing is. But remember, you're not wrestling against people. And his methodus that he uses, he comes in with a methodus. And 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read it. It really gives us the way that he comes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Let me read this to you. So that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes and his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The way that the enemy works to mess up relationships and work is the scheme and the one method and the one road lane of devices and schemes. And where does the scheme, what's the one road that he's leading to with those schemes? It's your mind. That Greek word for schemes is the word nomata. And it comes from the Greek word mind. So I'm going to say it again. The word schemes. It comes from the Greek word nous, which is mind. It turns into pneumata when the mind is so confused, so jumbled up, it can't think straight. So if I was to apply this to your work, maybe you're going to work, you're trying to give glory to God through the work, but the thoughts in your mind are so jumbled up, you can't think straight to go to work. That's how it's deception. Can't give God glory. You're trying to love that relationship with your siblings, with your whoever it is, but the thoughts are running through your mind. He has a one methodus, one lane to get into your mind to penetrate it. So that all you can put your faith in is the deception and the lie that he sowed. And if you put your faith in the power of a lie, it creates bondage. This is his main way. He's a liar, and everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. He's a thief, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. Every single time. And so once we know this, I'm going to go to my second point, church. We can remain hopeful. We can remain hopeful. Biblical hope is not a feeling, but a reality rooted in the God's faithfulness. One of the biggest things that the adversary comes to do once he causes us to think we are no longer victorious, that sets us up to remove hope. You know hope is gone when you really just don't care anymore. You know hope is gone when you've settled in that this is just the way it's going to be. And there's one thing about our God and our Lord. With him, all things are possible. With him, no work, nothing is ever out of the situation to where we cannot give God the glory through that thing. Amen? Remain hopeful. Isaiah 40, 31 says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew, come on, y'all, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. Remain hopeful. They will walk and not be faint. Remain hopeful. Maybe you're in this place and you love your job, and maybe you have a good friend who's struggling with their, encourage them. Remain hopeful. God has a plan. And you can still glorify God in that work relationship that you have with your work or the relationship itself. And the third thing I want to say, besides remain hopeful, I mentioned I will go through these last two really quickly, is recommit to God's word. Recommit to God's word. What does that mean? It means this. I'm going to give you this quote. The word of God can renew, restore, and bring liberty if applied. The word of God can renew, restore, and bring liberty if applied. Let me unpack this a little bit. Recommit to God's word. In however the relationship you're trying to give God glory, God's word is a seed. One of those seeds says, this is not a scripture, but biblical principle is truth. Don't return dishonor with dishonor. It's a seed. It's a seed. So no matter what comes at you in any relationship that you have, you always got seeds in your pocket to sow into that relationship. And seeds of the word of God will not come back void. It's impossible. God says, I honor my word above my name. What the enemy and the adversary wants you to do is be so inundated with lies, you literally cut a hole in your pocket and you lose all your seeds of the word of God to sow back into that relationship. That's why Jesus says, when the enemy came, Jesus says, it is written. 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 There's an interesting passage in the Bible. Even when the enemy came, the devil came at one of the archangels. I can't remember. I'll Google it. I put it on Facebook. The angel literally said, I'm not even going to get in this wrestling match with you because I'm not going to be accused of accusing you. I'm going to say that again. The angel literally would not sow seeds back to the enemy and accuse the enemy back. If an angel won't even get into that arena, why would we sow any negative seeds back into anybody's life? Come on, somebody. I got seeds in my pocket for days, and I'm going to go sow seeds. I'm going to sow seeds. I'm going to sow seeds. I'm going to sow seeds. And through you sowing seeds or recommitting yourself to the word of God, you can bring anything, anything to its proper place in your life, because the word of God never comes back void. Don't let the enemy take your seeds to sow into your wonderful job. Be fruitful where you're at. It may not be where you're going to be forever. God may take you somewhere greater, but right now, sow seeds. Be fruitful in your relationships that you have. Maybe it's been tumultuous. Maybe it's been difficult. Don't believe that deception that it's over. Remain hopeful. Sow seeds into that relationship. Amen? And I want to close with this. And I'm going to invite the Pastor Justin and the worship team. I want to close with this. And in this moment, I believe I sowed and I planted a lot of the word of God this morning. And in that, this next song that their worship team was just going to lead us, it's a pretty big, powerful worship song, right? In that moment, I just want you to do whatever feels comfortable to you to just kind of process some of the things I talked about today. And so for you, that might look like you're going to stand up and worship. Go for it. For you, that might look like you're just going to sit down and quietly reflect. That's all good. But they're going to come. This song is going to be powerful about our relationships, about, you know, really bringing God glory. I want to close with this statement. Removing flags requires recognizing your true adversary. And it is never, never a person. Never a person. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen, church? Again, I'm going to close with that. Remember you're victorious. Remain hopeful. And recommit to God's words. Pastor Justin, would you lead us?